You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Let me just ask you a question before I launch into the message this morning, continuing our series called The Healer. What is it that you believe about the Lord's desire for healing in your life, right? Like, what do you believe that God wants to do in your life when it comes to healing? And do you believe that he can do it? I think sometimes I think we tend to think God can do it, but we have a problem believing that he will do it. It's like God can do anything, but does he really want to do it in my life? Or even will he do it in my life? We're in a series called The Healer, and we're talking about what God's desire is for us when it comes to healing. I'm gonna continue the series that we started last week in just a moment. Before I do that, I just want to mention for the last time, because they should be gone this next week, our book of the month is Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. And if you're looking for something to put into yourself that will feed you spiritually, I want to recommend this resource to you. This is one of the spiritual classics of the last 50, 75 years. I think it's maybe written 40 years ago. This is an excellent book that will help you grow in your leadership. If you lead at any level, it will help you understand how to think about time management, how to think about developing yourself as a leader, how to think about spiritual authority. One of the most important people that we lead is ourselves, and it will help you understand the importance that the Lord puts on your character and your integrity and some of the spiritual disciplines that will help you grow in that. So the reason we do Book of the Month is because we want to feed ourselves something other than what we are fed on the regular by social media and sometimes by our friends and by our family. And so if you want to jump into that, I want to encourage you, pick one up at guest services. I think they're $13 and they'll probably be gone. I think this is the last week. Babe, can I give these to you and you can take them back there and we'll get rid of those. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's talk about the Lord and his healing power. In the series called The Healer, what I want to do, as I mentioned last Sunday, is I want to give a balanced teaching. I want to dig into the scriptures about what the scriptures actually say about God's healing power and what he wants to do in our lives. And I want to raise our expectation because we suffer from a problem in our culture of low expectation when it comes to God. We have this problem, it's a stronghold, that because we have been counseled by our experiences in our life, we have lowered what we expect God to do, right? Because we have been disappointed, because we live in a broken world, because we have prayed sometimes and things haven't happened, because we've seen other people that haven't been healed or haven't gotten their prayers answered, what we have done as a result many times is we have actually lowered the things that we expect God to do as a result of what we have experienced. And what I believe we need to do is actually go back to the scripture and look and see what the scripture tells us about where our expectations should be. And so my desire over these couple of weeks that we're talking about this is to really go directly at the stronghold of low expectation. I don't know about you, but I just want to tell you that God wants to do some really incredible things in your life. Like, he has a word for you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to work in your life. If you're married, he wants to bless your marriage. If you're at school, he wants to help you at school. He wants to deal with your friendships. There's every area of your life God wants to be involved in, and he wants to actually move in power. But what do you actually expect that he will do? Because very often, we're just kind of like have this very small expectation of what God actually will do. We think, yeah, he could do it. Like, maybe he has enough power to do it, but will he do it in my life is a whole nother question. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. Let's just raise our expectation just a notch. If you're here today and you're not sure how much God wants to do in your life, how much he can do in your life, I just want to encourage you, just begin to raise your expectation. God, you actually will do something in my life. You want to talk to me. You will talk to me. You will work in my family. You will work in my finances. You will work in my life. Because why? Because God is a God who is faithful. He's true. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're digging into the scriptures. We're raising our expectations, and we're praying for the sick. Over these weeks, every week for the 5 weeks or so of the series, we're going to pray for the sick. And last week, it was kind of fun because somebody got healed. And we shouldn't be surprised. And actually, I'll talk to you about that today. That shouldn't be a surprise to us because of a normal part of the expectation of a Christian. But it does surprise us, right? I mean, last week we had somebody after one of the services come up, and he had a frozen shoulder. And he couldn't raise his shoulder. He'd gone to the doctor. The doctor said, yeah, there's not much we can do about it. You're just kind of there. And he hadn't been able to raise his arm for some time. And actually, in the first service, I said, do you happen to be here, sir? And he was over here, sitting over here, and he raised his hand. I said, is that the hand that you was frozen? And yes, as a matter of fact, it was. Because as they prayed for him, he was able to lift his hand for the first time in I don't know how many months. But he had a lot of pain. And so they said, well, let's pray for you again until the pain is gone. And so they prayed for him again, and now he raises his hand. He did it just this Sunday, just this morning, in the first service, without any pain, because God is a God of healing. He's a God that answers prayer. He's a God that actually loves to heal his people. And so I want us to, this morning, adjust our expectations that we serve a God that is, in fact, a healing God. And that he is present here, that Jesus is here in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's here to move in power in our lives. He's here to heal our hearts, to heal our spirits, to heal our minds, and to heal our bodies. This is what Jesus said about his ministry in Mark 9:23. He said, everything is possible to him who believes. Everything is possible to one who believes. He told that to a man who came to him with his son who needed to be healed, and he was so desperate that he didn't know what else to do. I mean, we've all sort of been in that position sometimes with areas of our life. He's like, well, I'll just try this. And he came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, if you can you do something for my son? Jesus looks at him and says, if I can. He says, everything is possible to one who believes. And the man looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because he recognized that he, in the very moment of wanting to trust in Jesus, in the very moment of wanting to believe that he was a healer, he also dealt with this problem, this challenge of unbelief in his heart. Isn't that how we are? In the very moment of reaching out for what God wants to do, yes, Lord, I believe, but man, I just so struggle. Can you please help me in my unbelief? And Jesus turned and he healed his son, because that's the kind of God that we serve. He's one that we can come to even when we're struggling. I love it that it doesn't just depend on us. It just doesn't depend on you, right? It doesn't depend on how good you are. It doesn't depend on how much faith you have, because many times we have just so little faith, right? We just have such, I mean, it's like, man, if it all depended on us, we would be in trouble. But because we go to a God who's the one who completes all of our weakness, the one who fills the gap of all the limited lack of faith that we have, we come to a God who we can trust and takes whatever we have, and he says, I'll take that, and as a matter of fact, I can do something with it. This morning I want to talk to you about how the idea of salvation that Jesus brought is wrapped up in the concept of healing. And many times what we have done in our churches is we have truncated or chopped off half of the understanding of what salvation is. So I think sometimes Jesus looks at us today and he says, man, I would do so much more in your life if you just actually gave me an opportunity to do so. Like, I would do so much more in my life if you would actually trust and ask and believe that I want to and I can. But because we have limited God, many times we find in our lives he's not active when he wants to be active, because we have shut the door to him. When it comes to the idea of salvation, we have limited salvation in the American church, historically in the Western church. We have limited the idea of salvation that Christ brings just to saving us from our sins. And we have removed the reality that salvation is more than only for our spirits in the future, salvation of our sins, that there is a whole lot more to it. So let me look at a couple of scriptures with you this morning. If you want to follow along in your notes, you can do that. It's under the Church Center app there under the notes. And I want to talk to you about salvation, what's in it. Now, everybody seems a little quiet this morning. So I need a little feedback. Are you awake? Okay, do you believe God is alive? Okay, are we raising our expectation? Okay, all right, let's talk about salvation and what's in salvation. I just need you to talk to me just a little bit, just get it, because we're in the environment, in the atmosphere this morning. I believe that the Lord is here to heal people, and I believe he's here in power. But sometimes what we can do is if we just sit and watch, we become spectators rather than participants. Okay, and if you're just a participant, then you will miss out. I'm sorry, if you're just a spectator, then you will miss out on what's happening on the field. Okay, and so Jesus is here to do something on the field today. And so, and whether you're in the front or whether you're in the middle or whether you're in the back, wherever you're at in the auditorium, I want you to choose. I'm actually a participant. I'm in the game today. I'm not just a spectator. I'm not going to watch and see if Andrew can give a good sermon. I'm actually waiting to see what the Lord is going to say to me and what the Lord is here to do today in this house. Okay, so I just need a little bit of participation this morning. This is what Jesus says of himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. My first point here is that Jesus came to save us. Now, I think we know that. That's why we're here this morning. Most of us are here because we have this understanding that Jesus came to save us. What did he come to save us from? He came to save us from the state that we are in. We live in a world that is broken and marred by sin, and we find ourselves unable to save ourselves. We find ourselves unable to actually make things right. We find, I love the quote one time I heard from a woman who said, I just wish I could find someone to forgive me. Because she realized, she was not a Christian, she realized though that she had this tendency to do things to other people and to do things in life that just were wrong, and she knew she had a stain on her soul and she didn't know the answer for how to get it fixed. And Jesus says, listen, I came to save you. I came to actually find those who are lost, to seek them, and to bring salvation into their houses. Now, that word salvation is an interesting word. If you study the word in the Greek, it's a word called sozo. S-O-Z-O is how it is in the Greek. And that word in the Greek, if you were to look at it, what they do when you study the scripture is you will oftentimes take a word like sozo, and you will look at every other time it's used in the Bible to find out what the meaning of that word is. And so when you look at that word sozo, which means salvation, every time you see sozo, it's translated either salvation or it's translated made well. And so every time the word sozo is used in the New Testament, it has a couple of different meanings. It means to heal, to preserve, and to rescue. So when Jesus says, I came to seek and to save the lost, when he uses that word save, There is a multiple layered meaning there. That means not only did he just come to save one part of us, but he came to heal us, to deliver us, and to preserve us. Now, that means that Christ is our Savior, he's our deliverer, and he's our healer. He saves us from our sin, he delivers us out of our situation, and he heals us out of our brokenness. Right? So when Peter is in the boat, remember Jesus comes walking one night and they look out and they think it's a ghost and they realize it's Jesus. And Peter, in his very rash way, Peter's always like sticking his foot in his mouth, he says, hey Jesus, can I come out and walk on the water with you? And so Jesus says, okay, dude. And so Peter gets out and he starts walking on the water. Right? He starts walking on the water, he's looking at Jesus, and then all of a sudden it says he gets distracted. And he starts looking at the waves around and he realizes, oh, dang it, what am I doing, right? I mean, he's like, what in the world? And he starts to sink. Remember that story? And he says in that moment, he says, Lord, save me. That word save is sozo. It's deliverance. What he's saying is, he's not saying save me from my sins. He's saying, save me from my situation. Deliver me out of this moment that I'm in that is so desperate that I'm going to drown because all of the world is about to overtake me. Deliver me, God. So sozo, the idea of salvation, when Jesus comes to save us, it's not just a unilateral one area of your life. It involves every single part of your life. This is what Matthew 9:35 says. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing, say healing, healing every disease and sickness. So what did Jesus do when Jesus was on the earth in his ministry for 3 years? His ministry was, the hallmark of it, was that he would proclaim the good news, right? That is the good news. Hey, listen, there's a new king in town. There's a new kingdom in town. Something has changed that I'm actually come to the earth, and now I am declaring once and for all that the enemy's reign is coming to an end, that it stops here. Why? Because there is a new one in town that is, I am the King of Kings. I'm going to win the victory. I'm going to the cross, and I forever am going to crush the enemy under my feet. And that means good news to all those who are lost, good news to all those that are broken, good news to those who are blind, good news to those who don't have enough, who don't have the answers, who have run out of those things that they thought would solve their problems, but they haven't. Good news, why? Because Jesus is on the throne today, and he has brought salvation. That is, he has brought salvation and rescue and deliverance right now. See, that's the hallmarks of the kingdom of God. So it says that he proclaimed the good news, and then it says, and what did he do? He healed them. He healed every disease and sickness. Those two things, proclaiming the gospel and healings, always go hand in hand in the ministry of Jesus. Whenever you see Jesus teaching, then he would turn and he would heal. Whenever you saw him healing, he would turn and proclaim the good news. Those two things are designed to go hand in hand. But today in the church, we have decided only one is what we're going to pursue. That is the good news. And we have forgotten that healing is part of the declaration of the kingdom of God. Now, the reason why healings are so important when it comes to proclaiming the gospel is because they are demonstrations of the power of God that underline what Jesus is saying is actually authoritative. Right, so when the friends brought the man who was lame, who couldn't walk, and they brought him, and Jesus was teaching in his house, right, and there's a crowd around, they couldn't get this man who was their friend to Jesus, and so they go up on the roof, they rip the roof off, and they lower the dude down through the roof in front of Jesus. I kind of imagine that story, right? Jesus is teaching, all of a sudden the roof starts, like, the pieces of the roof start to fall down, and then all of a sudden here's this dude that gets lowered down in front of Jesus, right? So Jesus looks at the man, and he says, your sins are forgiven. And everybody kind of is, well, that's cool. And then Jesus reads their minds, as he always does. And he says, just so you know, I have authority to forgive sins. I'm going to demonstrate to you the healing power of the kingdom of God. Rise up and walk. And the guy begins to walk. Why? Because the healing is a demonstration of the power of God that gives authority to the proclamation of the gospel. It's a lot easier to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ when somebody gets healed, right? When the dude was sitting right over there this morning, and I said, he got healed last week, and I said, are you here this morning, sir? And he goes, I'm right here. And he raises his hand, the arm that he couldn't raise a week ago, he raises without pain. Suddenly, everybody in the house goes, they either go one or two things. Wow, God is alive and he's in power, or how did Andrew plant that guy over there? He must have made a meeting and they planned this thing, right? Because it's either doubt or faith is what tends to happen in that moment. But all of a sudden now we have greater faith when we're in the presence of the miraculous power of Jesus. We go, wow, that if God can do that, then he can do anything. So I'm actually going to, so that's why they say, you know, one miracle is worth $1 million worth of advertising, right? Because you no longer have to make a rational argumentation for the reality of the kingdom of God. All you have to do is say, see right here, here's the proof. The supernatural is real. God is alive. Here's the healing to demonstrate it, right? And what we do, what we have done very often in the church is we have forgotten the power of the gospel and we have just resorted to making an argument for the gospel, right? And I went to school for that, right? I went to school, I have a degree in apologetics. Apologetics is basically an argument for the existence of God. It's basically defending the faith is what it is. And so I think that's a good thing. I think rational arguments for why we should believe in Scripture, I think that's fantastic. I'm all into apologetics. But if all that we have is just a rational argument and we don't have the power of God, then we're missing half of the gospel. Right? Because Jesus' ministry is the fullness of the gospel. He declares salvation to those who need it, and he declares healing to those who need it. Those two things together, all of a sudden, you're cooking with gas, right? I would rather cook with gas than to cook with a good argument, right? I want to cook with some fuel here. I don't want to just make a nice, rational argument that God really is alive. No, when somebody says, God healed me of my disease, suddenly we all go, yes, sir, there's somebody in the house that has authority that I didn't see before, but I see him now, and as a matter of fact, I want to know him, and I want to give my heart and my life to him. So healing is a hallmark of the kingdom of God. It's the expectation that we would see whenever the kingdom of God is breaking out, we see the miraculous begin to happen. Matthew chapter 11, the blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. That's what Jesus said. This is the information that you need to know when you ask the question, are you the Messiah? Yeah, I'm the Messiah. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. And as a matter of fact, the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. We know in that case that Jesus is the one who heals us. Now, the question then for us becomes, well, what is the level of healing that we can expect when we're talking about Jesus saves, when we talk about this word sozo? Well, I think if you look at Scripture throughout in all of Scripture, Old and New Testaments, but in the New Testament in particular, you begin to see that the healing of Jesus covers every area of our life. It's not limited to just one area, but it covers all areas of our life. Now, the greatest healing that there ever has been and there ever could be is the healing of our spirit. Right? The greatest problem that we have is the brokenness of our sin nature and the separation that we have in our relationship with God. See, our spirit is the critical factor. You can get your body healed, but if your spirit is still dead, then you're still going to hell. Right? The greatest challenge that we have as human beings is our separation from God. And so therefore the greatest miracle, the greatest healing that Jesus ever performed was to forgive our sins. That's why when he looks at the man who's lame and he says, your sins are forgiven, that was the great miracle. The much less smaller miracle was when he said, yeah, okay, just to show you that I have power to forgive sins, yeah, go ahead and get up and walk. That's like not a big thing. It's the salvation issue. It's the sin issue that needs to be dealt with. It's the thing in our hearts of saying, I'm right and my way is right, that Jesus ultimately came to say, this is what I came to save you from. That is the salvation that we all need. That's our spirit. See, once your spirit is saved, it really doesn't matter what else happens. Right? It doesn't matter what happens to your body. It doesn't matter how bad things and circumstances in life are. I mean, at the end of the day, you're good because God has you and he won't let go of you, and you're his child forever and ever. And so your spirit salvation, right? That thing that Jesus did on the cross for your sins is the critical and first and foremost healing that he gives us. But it doesn't just stop there, right? Salvation is also healing for our mind. See, our thoughts, the very way that we think is broken. Scripture says that the natural mind is actually in opposition to the things of God. It doesn't understand it. The natural mind, the way that we naturally think, is opposed to the things of God. Why is that? It's because our natural mind lives in the natural world. And it has been trained by our experience of this world, of nature itself. And what we see in this world is brokenness and disappointment. What we see in this world is the reality that things just ain't gonna work, right? And so whenever the Spirit comes in and something miraculous and supernatural happens, which is something from outside the natural order, then our natural mind begins to doubt in that moment. This is how it works. And I'll just tell a story of myself. I've heard many times people tell me about healings that they have experienced, physical healings in their body. I remember one particular one of the staff members told me about a healing that happened. Their family had prayed, and you know, the leg, whatever was going on, and it was healed. And in the moment, I said, "Oh, praise God." In my mind, I said, "Eh, you're probably just mistaken about that, right? Like your body just, you know, fixed it in that moment, or maybe you thought it was really bad, but it was, right?" Because my natural mind immediately began to doubt the supernatural order of God. My dad, who's a pastor before me, he told me about a time when he was in Haiti, and he did some crusades in Haiti, and there was a moment when a man who didn't have a full arm, he had just a part of an arm, they prayed for him, and he watched this man's arm grow out in front of him and become a whole arm and hand, right? Which is incredible. And my dad told me, in that moment, his mind said to him, "You didn't see that. Like there's no way," right? Because the natural mind is opposed to the things of God, which is why we are always in a battle to put the spirit over our mind, the mind of Christ, versus the natural mind, because the natural mind always is going to operate in denial of the things of God, because the things of God are above the natural world, right? They're above the way that things happen here. The supernatural God that we serve operates outside of the limits of our natural universe and our natural thinking. And so we have to be careful to be counseled by a natural mind. We need healing in our mind. Otherwise, we're always saying, "Nah, that ain't, there's some other explanation for that thing." Right, you got any friends that you tell them something good that God did, and they're like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you just had a good day, right? They're always giving you some other explanation for it. They're always explaining it away. Why? That's the natural mind at work, and the natural mind is always opposed to the things of God. The Lord came to actually heal our mind. He came to heal our perspective. He came to actually repair that which the world has done, the sin of the world that has actually broken the functioning of our mind, so that our faith expectation is so low because we've been counseled by the very world that we live in. He came to heal our will. That is our self-will, our self-direction. I don't know about you, but you know, I find that when I do the things that I think I need to do, I tend to get myself in trouble. Right? When my will gets me in trouble all the time. And the Lord actually came to actually repair our will. Isaiah says, "We all like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way." We've all done the thing that we want to do. We heard about in baptism today, those that said, "I was on my own for years, for decades, I pursued my own stuff, but now I understand the Lord has actually come to save me," right? He's actually coming, so I'm submitting my will to his will. Why? Because I understand my will was broken and he came to heal it. He came to heal our heart. Now, when I talk about our heart, I don't mean our physical heart. I'm talking about that which we love, our affections. And we find that the things that we love, if we're not careful, our flesh will draw us to actually go after and pursue things that are not healthy and are not whole. I read one time, it kind of struck me about how, as a Christian, we have to be very careful about allowing our affections to go in different directions, allowing our heart to lead us. Because if you're not careful, if you allow your heart to lead you, you'll end up being in love with things you have no business being in love with. Have you ever heard people, right, in their marriage, "I just fell out of love with you," and then pretty soon their heart, they start to go towards another person, start to have a conversation, they start to begin to think about something. That's all heart management. It's all affections management. And they begin to turn their heart towards someone else. And before you know it, all of a sudden, "Well, I guess we just fell out of love." You didn't fall out of love. You allowed your heart to go in a different direction. You allowed your affections to begin to rule you rather than ruling your affections. Rather than saying, "No, heart, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. You shut your mouth. I know a God who's greater than you. I know the Lord who came to actually to heal my heart." And if my heart, if it was actually healed by the Lord, wouldn't turn me in the direction that you want me to go. Which is why, just be real careful about following your heart, right? The way that the world talks about it. The Lord came to heal our hearts, our desires. That's why it's such a wonderful thing to be able to come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I find in my heart that I'm wanting things that I know are not right. would you heal me, Jesus? Would you save me from myself? Would you save me from the very desires that I have? Would you plant in me new desires? Would you give me a new heart? Would you take my old heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh? And he says, I would love to do that, because he's a God that heals our heart. And of course, he's a God that heals our body. And he looks at us and he says, yes, I love every part of you. I love your spirit. I love your mind. I love your heart. And I love your body too. And I want to fix it. I want to heal it. Look at this verse that I've got here, if I can get to it. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, listen, when you have the Holy Spirit, that's the first fruits of the Spirit. Because Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send my Spirit to you. It's actually better that I go, because I'm going to send the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be the seal. He's going to be like the stamp on you that says, you're part of my kingdom. You're my son and you're my daughter. And when you actually walk in the Spirit, you'll receive from him all the things that you need, right? That's the first fruits of the Spirit. That's like those moments. And some of you have had those moments when you're in God's presence and you just go, wow, there is nothing better than this moment right here. I've experienced that before in some of the most difficult parts of my life. I remember one time it was just like everything around me was like broken, right? It was just like, it was one of the most desperate parts of my life. And I got into God's presence and I just began to feel his love, the river of his life, the river of his affection and his joy just in me and his love for me. And all of a sudden I was just like, wow, like this is the best thing ever. I don't know that I would trade the terrible things that are going on around me for this experience. Because this experience right now is the first fruits of what it's going to be like in heaven forever. Like there's something glorious about this moment, because when I'm in the presence of God and I begin to see him in a way that I didn't see him before, now there's strength to face the brokenness of life. Now I don't have to be worried about the future. Why? Because I know God is the one that's in control and he holds all things in the palm of his hands. And so that first fruits experience that says, hey, listen, no matter what, you're my child, and no matter what, I've got you. That's what we want. That's what Paul is talking about. That's the first fruits of the Spirit. See, and then at the end of the day, it's like whether or not you get healed in this moment is not the biggest thing, because ultimately, he says, there will be the redemption of your bodies. Ultimately, you're going to be healed. Every single one of us who are in Christ will receive the full healing that he wants us to have. I love it says the redemption of our bodies, which means that God actually likes your body. You may not like it very much, but it means in heaven, he's going to redeem your body. He's going to give you a body that isn't broken, that doesn't have the saggy skin anymore, right? That you don't have to do all the things you do to try to prop things up and inject things and make them look good. And, you know, I mean, he's going to take that best version of you. He's going to redeem your body and give it back to you whole and complete, right? And so the redemption of our bodies is what's happening. But right now in this place, we have the first fruits, which means we get a taste, which is why we ask for healing right now, not only just in the future. God wants to heal your body even now because he loves you right now. He's not only holding it for the future. He says, no, my son, my daughter, right now is the kingdom of God. Right now you can experience my presence. Right now you can experience my healing and my wholeness. Now, the reason why we continue to seek after healing is because we follow the example of Jesus. Now, Christians, the word Christian means little Christ. It's from the New Testament, right? It's in the book of Acts, they started calling people Christians. The reason they called people Christians or little Christ is because they understood that the goal of Christianity was actually to look like Jesus. So when we actually look to Jesus as our example, and we follow what he said and we do what he did. Why? Because he is our model. And so we look at the scriptures about what Jesus, don't believe what somebody else tells you about Jesus. Look at what the scripture says about Jesus to find out who he is. When we look at the scripture, we find that Jesus healed people all the time. It was part of his ministry. You can count at least 20 to 30 to 40 individual miracles, but then there's at least 9 verses within Scripture that say that he healed every single person that they brought to him, right? And so, I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of people, thousands of people that he healed over 3 years. Can you imagine? He goes to one village and he begins to teach the gospel. He heals some people. Then they begin to bring all of their sick to him and he heals all of them. And so time after time after time, Jesus' ministry is a ministry of healing. Now, he healed. Why did he heal? He healed to show compassion to people because he loves them. I want you to know God loves you. God loves you. And just like you have to settle it in your heart. Like, no matter how screwed up you have made your life, no matter how broken you are as a person, no matter what kind of hole that you've dug yourself into, Jesus loves you and he has compassion for you. And so we make a mistake when we think, oh, I got to fix myself first and then I'll come to God, right? I got to clean myself up a little bit. Some people say this, if I come to church, the roof will fall in. I got to clean myself up a little bit, right? It's totally the wrong way of thinking about it. Because at the end of the day, Jesus loves you just the way that you are. He has compassion for you because he understands what it's like to be in your body, right? He's a human being like us, fully human, fully God. So he has that experience. And why did he heal people? Because he loved them so much, he didn't want them to suffer. So sometimes Jesus, it just, man, the whole reason he healed people was not because he's always trying to demonstrate something. Sometimes just like, man, my son or my daughter is in a place of pain. Let me just relieve you of that pain because he just loved them so much. He healed people to fulfill prophecy. He healed them to prove that God had sent him, and he healed them to destroy the works of the devil. I love that, right? The reason that Jesus healed us is for all those reasons, and those are the same reasons that the church today has been given the ministry, right, of proclaiming the gospel and to heal the sick. Why? Because we are now the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. Now, how did Jesus heal? Let me just run through this and then I want to pray for you. Jesus healed in all kinds of different ways. He healed by laying hands on people and calling for the power of the Lord. He spoke the word of faith and the word of healing over people. He rebuked sickness and disease out of people's life. You know, sometimes there's lots of different ways you can pray. And I would just encourage you to expand your prayers for the people that are sick in your life. Don't just pray in one way, right? Sometimes you need to rebuke the disease. You know what? Cancer, get out of there. You know what? Pain, why don't you leave in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has authority over pain. Sickness, get out of that body because you have no authority in this place. Jesus is the one that has authority over this body because this body belongs to him. This is his son. This is his daughter, right? So he laid hands, he spoke, he rebuked. Sometimes as people came to him, just their faith of reaching out to him, touching the hem of his garment, healed them. And as a result of that, they experienced the fullness of his life inside of them. If you're following your notes, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip a couple things. You can send me notes later or ugly emails or whatever. But let me just look at this with you, our healing expectation. This is what I believe that we need to walk in as followers of Christ. We should have the expectation that healing is a normal part of the Christian life. Okay? Now, what I mean by that is we're not putting healing at the top and we're not putting healing at the bottom. We're not saying that healing is everything and that if you don't get healed that you don't have faith, right? We're not saying that, but neither are we not asking for healing and believing that, you know, it's just like not within our power. No, we just believe that as a normal part of Christian life, healing is going to happen and it should happen. Just like as a normal part of Christian life, Jesus is going to talk to you, he's going to lead you, he's going to guide you. As a normal part of Christian life, your stuff is going to last longer because the blessing of God is on you. As a normal part of Christian life, his favor rests on you. So the way that people actually treat you is in unexpected good ways. Why? Because his grace is over you, right? When I go around, I just expect that good things are going to happen to me. Why? Because God loves me, right? Not because Andrew's great, not because he's good looking. Lord knows, we know. It's because God loves him, right? And so that's just a normal expectation of every Christian. Like, we pray for people get healed. Okay, let's go on. Thank you, Jesus. That's part of our inheritance of being a believer. Secondly, we should expect that there are many different types of healings. right? So expand our understanding of healing. Healing is creative. There are creative miracles. For example, that man's arm that grew out is a creative miracle. It didn't exist there before, and God in that moment created tissue and bone that wasn't there before. There's also instantaneous miracles. Some things happen right now, right? The guy, raise your arm that was frozen, the shoulder was frozen, boom, all of a sudden he's able to raise his arm. That's instantaneous. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes, though, there's an intervention in the normal natural process, and it's still a healing power of God. That's why we pray that God would use doctors and he would use medicine and he would use and make it effective. We pray against those bad things, like when somebody's going to take chemo. We pray against all the negative side effects of chemo. Why? Because we believe God actually works through even natural processes and he can heal in that way. We believe that the healing is providential as well as instantaneous. What do I mean by providential miracles? That God is actually setting things up ahead of time in your favor. See, because we serve a God who is a God of the universe, he has actually aligned your life in a way that is for your benefit. And so he as we pray for his miraculous intervention, it's like from the beginning of time, it's all a setup. Like he's actually set up your life in a way for your blessing and your goodness and your healing. And he's going to bring people into your life and change circumstances. And like somebody looking from the outside in and say, how in the world could that happen? Like there's no way, like that person was there and then suddenly they like miraculous. That we all go, what? And how could anybody figure that out except for God? Because God is a God who works providentially, and that's as much as a miracle as anything else. And of course, we believe in process miracles, that sometimes you have to pray more than once. And sometimes healing takes time. Sometimes God is actually interested in healing a different part of you than the part that you think needs to be healed. Right? Sometimes you think, oh God, my real problem is the pain in my back. And God says, no. There's something else that there's a greater healing that I want to do in you. Yeah, I'll deal with the pain in your back, but there's actually a process that I want to take you through because I'm healing your heart. I'm healing something in your soul. I'm actually doing something that's greater that you don't always see. And we should always expect to keep learning about healing. We're not going to stop and say, okay, that there's only one way that God works or this is the only, no. We expect that as we walk with Christ, we're going to learn more. This is what I want you to do. I want to ask you to stand up and I want to make this statement together with you. And then we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for the sick. We got a few moments, so don't run out. You know, I mean, unless you really got to run out. But if you would, just stick with me just for a few more moments. And I'm going to have the prayer teams come up right now. And I want to make this statement with you. I want us to declare it together. And then I want us to pray. And then we're going to begin to invite the sick to come down. I think it's up on the screen. Does it say there, I have authority? Let's read these together. I have authority. I have anointing. I have faith. What's the next thing? Read it. I believe God does not lie. I have all the power that I need. Let's do it one more time, all together. I have authority. I have anointing. I have faith. I believe God does not lie. I have all the power that I need. I have all the power that I need. Just go ahead and close your eyes just for a moment. We say that because that's what the scripture says. We're not just making a statement out into the universe and trying to actualize something and, you know, come it into being because there's some empty power in the universe. No. We say that because we are children of the living God, because the Lord himself has said that. So, Lord, we come to you right now. And even as we have made that declaration, we just pray, Jesus, that you would begin to shift and to change something inside of us. Our expectation level. Our understanding of your goodness. Lord, we don't want to walk in no power. We don't want to walk, Lord, and just kind of empty and just barely getting through life. We want to walk in power, Lord. We want to see our hands and our feet be used for your glory. We want to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we're reaching out right now and we're asking that you would begin to heal our minds, you would begin to heal our hearts, that you would heal, Lord, our expectation and our faith Even as the man prayed, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, we're asking right now that you would begin to heal our unbelief. Put within us, Lord, a desperation for your presence and for your power. Put within us a determination not to give up halfway. Put within us, Lord Jesus, a faith that says God is here, God is powerful, and God will move. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're even saying right now, would you come and would you heal us? Would you come and would you use us as vessels for your glory? Would you use us, Lord, to pray for others? Give us, Lord, put in our way providentially people that we need to pray for. Give us an understanding of how we are to be used. Lord, we want to be active and alive in your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you're sick this morning, we want to pray for you. And maybe you got prayed for last week, you can pray for again, because we believe sometimes in process miracles. And so if you just begin to make your way forward, I'm going to pray a closing prayer in just a second. I promise I'm not going to keep you for too much longer. But if you just begin to make your way forward, if you got pain in your body, you got a diagnosis from the doctor, you got something that's going on in your neck or your back or a chronic issue, you got cancer or you got something in your kidneys or whatever, just begin to make your way forward. Come on, right now, don't make it long, because you're holding everybody up. So hurry up. Come on down, and we're going to pray for you, okay? And as they pray for you, it's not necessarily going to be long prayers, right? But we want to make sure that everybody who wants to get prayed for gets prayed for today. We're going to lay hands, and we're going to rebuke sickness, and we're going to ask for God's healing. We're going to pray for frozen shoulders, and we're going to pray for lungs to breathe again. And so just make your way up, and I'm going to dismiss in just a moment, but we're not going to go anywhere. So feel free to continue to come down or just wait and pray with us, because I know that God is here. He's a God of power, and he's a God of healing. Would you just bow your heads one more time? Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are people of the King. And Lord, I bless your children. I bless your sons and your daughters. And I ask that you would fill them, Lord, with your presence and with your power. Fill them with expectation of your goodness. Pursue them, Lord Jesus, as they go out. I pray that every need, Lord, would be met. That as they walk this week, that they would walk with expectation that you're alive and that you're with them. Lord, would you fill their homes with your presence? Would you bless their families? I pray for marriages, Lord, to be healed and to be restored. I pray for finances, Lord, to go further than they reasonably should. I pray in the name of Jesus that these ones would be set apart for your purposes and your glory. Lord, would you surprise them with your goodness? In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.